Thank you, Matthew, and again, send a very warm welcome to all this evening. Always good to see folks in, and just trust that the reason for being here is not just for the free tea and coffee that's at the end, but that actually because you actually want to find out a bit about the future and your future. And tonight, I'm going to speak on a slightly different subject. Last time I spoke about those witnesses, those eyewitness accounts in the Bible of people who saw the Lord. So of Isaiah, we thought of Thomas, who refused to believe unless he saw with his own eyes, and Saul of Tarsus, who was stopped on the road to Damascus by the Lord himself. Now, tonight I want to think about the next step. I want to think about the verdict. Because on the 17th of July, a student from Coventry was found guilty by jury for trying to kill some cyclists and the police outside the Houses of Parliament. Now that event itself took place on the 14th of August in 2018. And the jury came together and they had seen the evidence. They had seen the CCTV footage. They had listened to the eyewitness accounts. And therefore they have to make a judgment. Or they have to come to a verdict. That is what I wanted to think about tonight. Notice how simple it is. Notice how binary it is in our legal system, because you have a guilty verdict or an innocent verdict. And that's really what we want to bring before you tonight. A verdict about who the Lord Jesus is. And what is your verdict? That's what the Lord Jesus asked in Matthew 22, verse 42. And that's the question that I want to bring tonight. I really hope I'm not treading on Matthew's toes for a future one. He has to do 12, I only have to do 2. But he's already given us a clue about next week, so I know I'm not taking next week's message. But the Lord Jesus says this: what think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? That's first. You see, in the Bible we have, and we read together, ye is a singular, you. You see, I can speak about you, I can speak about you, but ye is a singular. And there are only 2 possible answers. And I want to tell you tonight that everything hangs on which one you make. We put up this chart which shows you the broad way and the narrow way because there is a decision point. And that decision point takes you either continuing on the broad way, which leads to destruction, hell and the red lake of fire, or you make a choice in a different direction and you come off that broad road and you enjoy the narrow road which leads to life. Now last Sunday we were directed towards John chapter 7, and I want to just pull out that verse that he mentioned together with you. John chapter 7 verse 12, you don't need to turn to it because it's just the one verse. And speaking about the Lord Jesus, there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. So, the people who were talking were discussing Jesus. They were talking about the things that he'd said and the things that he'd done. And some were saying, well, he's a good teacher. But then others were saying, no, he's deceiving the people. And I want to suggest to you that for him to be a good teacher or a moral guide is an impossible position to hold. That cannot be our verdict tonight on who Jesus is. And I'm going to explain why. Okay? You might say, well, hang on a minute. Well, surely he was a good person. You know, he taught people to love their neighbor. He taught people to go the extra mile. He showed compassion on the poor and on the hungry. Surely he was a good man. Surely he would be a good moral guide. Well, indeed. But actually, if you peel back the covers and you look at any religion in the world, and I'm not here to diss any other religion, I'm here to point to Christ. But if you look at any one of those, you will find that in those religions there are systems that are doing exactly the same thing. They're saying that we should do good to others. We should do good works. And indeed, that is their mechanism for seeking to gain access to God. But the Bible tells us it's a futile effort. For as Matthew mentioned to us, even our righteous deeds are as filthy rags before a God who is holy. A a system of good works will never save you. Only Christ can do that. But you see, the thing is that yes, he did talk about some good things, and he did say, he did do some amazing things, but that's not all he said. And I'm very glad we put up these posters because they have the Word of God on them. You can see some of the things that the Lord Jesus said. And it's those things that he said that causes the dilemma. We cannot call him a good man and a moral guy alone. Because he said, I am the Son of God. Matthew 27 verse 43. Clearly, it says of him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Now, people might think, like, well, where does it say that he is the Son of God? Well, I'll look at John chapter 9, and you'll see a pretty close statement of the Lord Jesus. He says he's the Son of God. He doesn't call himself the Son of God very often, because he calls himself the Son of Man, because he's identifying himself with humanity and his deity, as in his godhood, is demonstrated in the things that he does and the things that he says. No immense thoughts. Stilling the storms on the waves and being able to heal and even raise the dead. Those demonstrate that he is God. But if the Lord Jesus said, I am the Son of God, and it's not true, then he's a liar. And he's not a good man. And he's not a moral guy either. But if it is true, if he is who he says he is, then we have to accept all that he says. We have to accept what he said about heaven. We have to accept what he said about hell. We have to accept what he said about salvation from himself alone. Look at the things he said. It's on the wall. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Exclusive access to God is only through him. I am the door. Jesus said again, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Those are the sorts of phrases and statements that tell us that he, if he's not that, he's a liar. But if he is that, we can turn to him. So, I want to turn to a lovely passage. It's again one of those great ones which remind us of who the Lord, how the Lord Jesus knew who he was. It wasn't that he figured it out as life progressed. Matthew chapter 16, and it's got a very pertinent question in it. Verse 15 says, but whom say ye that I am? Another good, very personal question. I like what Matthew said earlier. The matter that we're dealing with tonight is a personal one. But I'll just read for context, Matthew 16, verse 13. And when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, another Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, thou shalt be bound in heaven. Whatsoever shalt loose on earth, shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. So, in that passage, which the Lord Jesus asked a challenging question, for whom say ye that I am? He calls himself Son of Man, identifying himself with humanity. But he asks the question, what do others think of me? What do others? They give various answers, all of them wrong. So you can't have any of those on your list. We're looking for a verdict, and it's binding. What about you? He says to them. What do you think? Personally. Who do you think that I am? And what does Peter say? He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Peter was prepared to put his neck out. He was prepared to say, I'm going to make a verdict here. I've seen what you've done. I've said, heard your words. I've heard your wisdom. I'm going to make a verdict. I think you are the Christ, the Messiah. I think you're the chosen one of God. I think you're the one that's fulfilled all the promises of God in the Old Testament. I think you are it. You are the Redeemer. You are the Savior. I think, wow. Did with all that grace in it. Well, you know, you don't have to get very far into your New Testament when you find those sorts of words. Because we talk about this at Christmas time, about 150-something days away from Christmas. But in our Christmas story, and it's not a story, it's a historical event, we find out about how Joseph was spoken to by an angel. This is what it says. This is what the angel says to him. The Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all that was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us. So that's what Peter was saying. Peter was saying, you're the one. I believe in you. You are the one. You are the Son of God. You are God with us. He made his word. He made, I tell you tonight, the right word. But then what Jesus says in verse 20, don't tell anybody. You've got the answer right, but don't tell anybody. Please, don't announce this. You know, if he was trying to pull the wool over their eyes, if he was trying to be a charlatan, if he was trying to be some sort of trickster, he would have said, great, tell everybody. But he doesn't. Why is that? Because verse 21, Matthew 16 says, from this time forth began Jesus to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. See, the Lord Jesus knew the cross was still to come. He knew that he had to go to the cross, and he knew that he had to die for the sins of the world. He knew he had to rise again from the dead. He knew that had to come first. So he said, don't tell anybody who I am until after that's happened. Not until that has happened. So before that point, they had a chance to make a choice, and Peter made the choice saying, I believe you're the Messiah. I believe you're the Son of God. Now we're going to read in Mark's Gospel chapter 14, another little section there, where a lot closer to the cross now, and we're going to see why a different verdict was made and the importance of that. Because I think this is where you have to be. There are two positions. Just like you can be guilty and you can be innocent, Mark chapter 14 and verse 60. The high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? He's at a trial, by the way. What is it which these witnesses against thee? And he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said unto him, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, What need we of any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy, what think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. You see, who Jesus is, who Jesus says he is pivotal in his condemnation in this text. Because here are the high priests, and they knew they had to get rid of him because of his one crime of blasphemy. He was saying that he was God. Now, if he never claimed to be God, if he never claimed to be the Son of God, then the priests would have had no case. They would have had nothing to bring against him. And indeed, that's what they were doing in this trial. They were trying to get him to say it. They were trying to get him to say, I am the Son of God. They were trying to demonstrate all along what he had been showing to the people. Because that was the thing that they said, we cannot have this. This is not true. The verdict is, he's a liar. They tried before to stop him. They tried to stop him making such blasphemous things. How could a man be God? That was their problem. Their verdict was different to Peter's. Christ, Jesus wasn't the Christ. He was not God. And therefore, he was a liar. And they were going to prove this. They were going to prove it by getting him killed. You see, the king of Israel, he couldn't be killed. That's not possible. King of Israel, indeed, he was calling himself. But you know, their verdict was wrong. It was wrong. They made the wrong choice. They came to the wrong verdict. How can I be so sure? Jesus proved his authority, proved that everything that he said was absolutely reliable and authenticated because he rose from the dead. It is the key fact of history that means we can point to Jesus as being the Son of God. Now, you still need faith to believe. You still need faith to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. But the evidence is pretty compelling. There was an empty tomb. They didn't know what to make of that. The grave clothes were still there. Jesus had been seen alive. He was seen by his disciples. And the disciples were now willing to die for their Savior. They wouldn't die for a lie. They wouldn't die for something that was a sham, a mockery. They knew he was alive. The religious rulers and the priests, they came up with an answer for why the tomb was empty. But it didn't make sense. It didn't have any foundation. It didn't meet the evidence either. No, the evidence of that empty tomb is crucial in our appreciation that Jesus is the Son of God. So, look at our verdicts. What's your verdict? Is Jesus a liar? Can't call him a good man. He told people he was the Son of God. He's not the Son of God. He's drawing away from a way that they could get by with God and saying, follow me, follow me. He's not the Son of God. That's awful. But if he is the Son of God, those are the two choices. A bit like guilty or innocent, that is the verdict we have. We have to believe in Jesus as a liar who died the death that he deserved. And that's what the Jews, some of them still believe today. Or he's the Son of God who I can trust in. Now, if he's the Son of God, then you can trust him as your Savior. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And you can say, well, that means he came to save me. Again, it's that personal thing, that personal verdict. If he did that, he can save me. And you can be yours. He can be your Savior forever. But you must choose between whether he is a liar or the Son of God. There is no other place to stand. There is no sitting on the fence, I'm afraid, in the case we have before us. You either side with the priests who got him crucified and say, we need to get rid of this man. Many people do. They say, as David was saying last night, no to God, no to the evidence. I don't want to know. And God will accept that. He will accept your decision. It'll be wrong. And that's why we're here. Because there's an opportunity to make a choice. There's an opportunity to take the verdict of, actually, I choose him as my Savior because he is the Son of God. That is my verdict. And of course, it has an impact, a huge impact, upon the verdict that God makes upon you. Matthew has reminded us that we've all fallen short of God's standard. Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23 tells us this: the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God is able to forgive our sins through what Jesus did upon the cross, where he suffered and died in our place. The Pharisees and the scribes, they asked the question, who can forgive sins but God alone? Luke 5, verse 21. And of course, that's true. Only God could deal with such a problem. Only God could deal with the punishment that we would take forever in the lake of fire to exhaust. Only God could deal with that issue. And God has. God has come to us in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can believe the evidence that is put before us. Ample evidence. We still need faith to believe it. And we can make a choice. We can choose the Lord Jesus. I'll just have one final quotation from Romans and chapter 10, which I just want to bring before you. I have it here. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You know, the Lord Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me upon earth, I will be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. That's a challenge to those who trust him as Savior and seek to follow us as Lord. But if you put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus, you'll never be ashamed. You don't have any reason to doubt, because you'll be on that narrow way that leads to life. You'll be on that narrow road and you'll be able to say, Jesus bore my sins upon the cross. He died there for me, and therefore I can go free. God is just, you see, that's why we have a justice system, because it comes from God. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, it's about appropriate justice. It's not about sticking everybody else in the eye. It's about appropriate levels of punishment for what is there. And it comes from the Bible. The Bible gives us the answers. The Bible tells us where we came from. The Bible tells us where we are going. And the Bible tells us the solution we need. And it is found in the person of God's Son, the Lord Jesus. Now my time is gone. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for considering what we've said to you tonight. But remember, as you go out those doors, you make a verdict on who Jesus is. He's either a liar, and you forget everything he said, or he's the Son of God. I need to trust him as you say. I can't make the choice for you, but I can point you to it. As somebody who saved my soul, and many, many millions of us, and there is a huge crowd gathering in heaven, waiting for that day when they will receive all the people saved. Hell will never be filled. One of the things the Bible says, there's always more room. But God's heaven also has got plenty of room for you if you turn and trust him as you see. Should we close the word of prayer before we have our closing? Thank you.